Pasuk Beis, Perek Hey, Pasuk Beis, Tzav, Es B'nei Yisrael, Vishaluchum Ramachne, send out of the Machne, Kol Tzarua, a person who has Saras, the whole Zav, any person who is a Zav. A Zav means he has an emission that flows out of his body from the place of the Erva, which is something which is very, very similar to Shechva Zera. And in fact, I don't know if today we even know if we're able to differentiate between ziva and zera in a man and a woman. The ziva takes on the form of blood, and we certainly do not know how to differentiate between the two. The whole tame l'nafesh. Number three, send out of the machane any person who's a tame. The pasuk here tells us this last week. The pasuk here teaches us that there are three individuals that are not allowed to be in the machane: a mitzora, a Zav, and a Tamei Nefesh. They're not the same. A Zav must leave Gimel Machanos, as well as a Tzorua. They must leave Gimel Machanos. What are the Gimel Machanos? Machane Shechina, that is the Azora. Machane Levia, which is equivalent to the Har Habayis. And Machane Yisrael, which is, let's step back. There are three machanes: Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, and Machane Yisrael. A tsorua, a person who has saras, must be sent out of all three machanes: Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisrael. A zav only needs to be sent out of two machanes: Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, which means a zav has to be sent out of the Harbayis and out of the Azara. But the mitzvira is allowed. The mitzvira is allowed to be present in Machane. The zav is allowed to be present in Yerushalayim. And then the chol tamei l'nafesh, someone who is tamei must be sent out of only one machane, machane shechina. Today, we are all Tamei Nefesh, so the only place that technically we may not enter is into Machane Shechina, which means we're now allowed to go to the place of the Azora. But the Har Habayis, someone who is Tamei, is permitted to go into the Azora. That is permitted. Mayor, what in the world are you doing? What in the world is going on over there? Okay, but someone who is Tamei... Someone who is tamei lenefesh is only obligated to leave machane shechina. Today we are all tamei nefesh. The only place that we may not enter is into the place of the azara. But a tamei nefesh is allowed to enter into machane levia, which means someone who is tamei nefesh is allowed to go on the har habayis. So technically speaking, every one of us today can go on the Har Habayis with no problem whatsoever, as long as we are careful not to go in the area where the Azara used to be, where the Azara is. Do we know where the Azara is? I think we do. Pretty much we know where the Azara is, to a certain degree. Not perfectly, but in a certain area where we know the Azara. And that's why people who do go on the Har Habayis rely upon this rule. A Tamei Nefesh may only not enter into Machane Shechina, which is equivalent to the Azara. If you can figure out basically where the Azara is, all the possibilities, just don't go in that area. Everywhere else you can go. Now, however, there is an approach, there is a suggestion that today we are Zavim. In addition to being Tamei Nefesh, being that we do not know what is Ziva, it can very well be that a man had an emission 2 days in a row, which would make him into a full-fledged Zav, which would mean he needs to observe Zayin Nikiyin and needs to be Toivel in a Mayon. If that would be correct, then we would not be allowed to ascend today, the modern-day Har Habayis, because of this pasuk. This pasuk says that a Zav must be sent min ha-machane, outside of the machane, and the min ha-machane, for the zav is going to be machane levia. Okay, we need a last, let's go from Pasuk Gimel. Mizachav ya v'keva tishalechu el michutz l'machane tishalechum, this repetition. First it says from the male to the female, you shall send them forth. El michutz l'machane tishalechum v'lo yitam with machane. Him nishnak in tamid in machane. Asher ani shechein b'sechem, which I dwell within. There is no Rashi in Pasuk Gimel. Let's go to Pasuk Dal. We did this a little last week. Let's go to Pasuk Dal. Vayasuchein b'nei Yisrael, they did so. Vayishalchu oisam el michutz l'machane. They were sent outside of the machane. Kasher diber Hashem el Moshe, came osu b'nei Yisrael. They did so as they were told to do. They were sent outside the machane, as Moshe, they sent them out. The b'nei Yisrael, there were police. There was a police department. There was a sheriff. There were soldiers. They brought in the National Guard to enforce that the people be sent out of the machane. Okay, they brought in the National Guard. As Hashem instructed, came also, so did they do b'nei Yisrael. There is no Rashi. Let's go to Pasuk Hey. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, ish ish, ki yasu mikol chatois ha'odom. If a man does a sin, a chet, chatois ha'odom refers to a sin that's ordinarily done inadvertently. Limol ma'al ba'Hashem, to commit a mi'ila is a very hard word to translate, which we're going to see in one more moment, what the word means, more precise meaning. It simply means a transgression, the oshema hanefesh shaki. The thing that he has committed this transgression, he will be guilty. Now take note, in this pasuk, there are three words being used to describe a sin. There is a chatois, a chet. Then it says a mi'ila, and then it says because he has done chet, which is considered to be a mi'ila, his neshama is ashamed, is guilty. Three different expressions. Pasuk Vav is an amazing pasuk. Three different expressions: chet, a mi'ila, and an asham. Notice how it grows in intensity. First, it starts out with the chet. Then, when it goes to the word mi'ila, there is repetition. Lim ol ma'al. The word is repeated twice. And then when it comes to the third term, in Oshon, it says not only is the Adam, it means the Neshama is Oshay. It first begins just telling you that an Adam does a Chet. Then this individual has done committed transgression of Lim Ol Ma'al. This second expression does not define the subject of the Ni'ima. It just says that there is some creature, there is something there that has done a mi'ila. And then the third part, it says that the nefesh is oshay. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Vav. Limol mal b'Hashem. Rashi says, harichoza v'chosot kan parshas gozel v'nishta al sheker. Rashi tells us that this pasuk is repetition from what we learned before, going back previously, the parsha of a person who steals and swears falsely. Okay, he steals and he's apprehended, or I guess he is a suspect, and they question him, did you steal? And he says, I swear to you, I did not steal. And then it is discovered, he later comes along and he confesses that he swore falsely. That is, the halacha is, he is required to bring a special carbon called asham gezelis. When a person swears he did not steal, and he later it confesses that he did steal, he brings a special carbon called asham gezelis. He, ha'amura, the parashas vayikra, this parsha here in parashas nasai, is a repetition of what it says in parashas vayikra, umola malba Hashem. The kichesh amisa, a person commits a transgression against Hashem, and he denies that he has property that belongs to his friend. The nishneis kan, so the obvious question is, why is there repetition in the Torah? The answer is, the nishneis kan, the shil shnei, the varim shnischav shubav, are two chidushin, two novelties in the halacha here. Ha'echa shakasa v'hisvadu. Number one, it says the word to confess. Loimar, she'enoi chayiv chomesh v'osham, al pi edin, at she'yode b'adavar. It's going to say over here in the next part that he confesses, which teaches us that the laws that are outlined in Parshas Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, in Parshas Sav, that he brings a korban osham, a special korban, and he has to pay back his friend, not just the principal of what he has denied, but must add to the principal an additional fifth, which really is in our terminology 25% more. He has to, that is only true if he confesses, meaning even if witnesses prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that he has sinned, that he has lied, he has to say the words, I acknowledge that I'm a liar, I confess, I have committed a crime. The korban asham only is offered when there is a vidui, even after you have been proven guilty. This pasuk is an incredible Musa Haskell in society. We live in America. I told this many times. I'm not going to give you any names. We live in America. In America, the most important thing a judge wants to hear in society is for a criminal to confess. America is a Medina Shel Chesed, is very, very forgiving. People can commit the worst haveros, murder, and who knows what. If they come to court and they say to the judge, I'm sorry, chotasi, avisi, poshati, it is incredible how much you can get away with in this country. I know it may take 10 years until, you know, the whole system, you go through the whole system, but at the end of the day, they're very forgiving. If a person comes to court today in America and says, I've done nothing wrong, they will throw the book at him and lock him away forever and ever. And if you want me to give you some examples, talk to me later on. I'll give you some examples of people that confess, people that did not confess, and look at the difference in what became of them. And there's a lot to say about the Torah here makes an incredible statement that says a person who swears that he does not owe another fellow money, and he's a liar, he swore by Hashem's name, witnesses come and testify that you're a liar, and they throw the book at him, and now he wants to go bring a korban asham, and also the obligation to pay the additional 25%, that does not happen unless at the end of the day he confesses to his sin, even though he was prosecuted by witnesses. That's why this has been taught to us in Parshas Nosai. From a time, the Mishnah is kind of shall shnei dvarim shnitzchat shubah ha'echot shukot v'sadu, lo ma sh'ein l'chayv b'chenesh on yosh al-pi'ed, and even if witnesses testify that he is guilty, ad she'yode b'adavar, number two, v'yashemi al-gezu ha'ger, she'hu mitein l'akoy ha'adam, let us say a person swore falsely that he did not steal money from a ger, a convert, and later he's caught guilty and he confesses, and now the convert is dead. Who does he give the money to? He has no yarshim. If the convert has yarshim, of course, keep the yarshim. But let's say he has no children. Who does he give the money to? Does he give it to his brother? No. Does he give it to his father? No, because they are not Jewish. They're not included in the Din of Yerusha. In this instance, the parsha here is teaching us that it goes as a gift to the Kohanim who are on duty in the Beis HaMikdash at that time. Okay, that concludes Rash. Listen to Targum. Targum Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dal Mitargum Vavadu, but it came to Bnei Yisrael. So we did a Pasuk Vav, Targum Pasuk Vav. Malel in Bnei Yisrael Givar, a man, a Ita, a woman. A woman is called an Ita, two Aleph. Okay, isn't that interesting? Ish or Isha. The Targum for the word woman is Aleph, Tav, Aleph. An Itisa. An Itisa in short is Ita, Hare. Haray, I know, isn't that a name of a woman? Ita. Isn't that a name, a popular name, Yiddish name, Ita? So Ita, I know, I had a cousin. She passed away, her name was Ita. Ita. We have now a lot of grandchildren named after her, called Ita. And Ita is really it means a lot of things, but here it's an Aramaic word, which means a woman. Areya Abdon Nikol Choydei no Anosho. If a person commits, he translates here the word chatos as a choyveh, is a choyv, an obligation of mankind, ha'adam, anosha, l'shakara, and this is very important. This is a very important targum. He's translating here the word lim'olmal, okay? Lim'olmal, to commit a crime. The translation is l'shakara, shakar, to lie. The word mi'ila literally means a crime. It doesn't mean sheker. The targum here is writing a volume of commentary in one word. And he's telling you, every crime in this world, every looter, every meshuggah out there that commits a crime, it's rooted in one principle, sheker. A crime, the essence of a crime is sheker. It's a powerful, powerful insight. Here, I'm reading over here, I have this, the reason why I'm blowing the shiur is because I'm so excited about the Sefer, which has a very awesome commentary on Targum, and here he brings out this point, and it's a really, and the Targum is drawing from a Medrash Halacha, a Sifrei. The Sifrei says, but here on this pasuk, Ein mi'ilo b'chol makom ela shikur. Okay, it's awesome. So the Gemara Didan and then the Talmud Bavli, Ein mi'ilo ela shinui. Okay, so the Gemara says something different. The Gemara Masechta Mi'ila, Daf Yud Ches, says that the word Mi'ila means a change. A change, a shinui. What's the difference between sheker and shinui? I do not know, but it's very interesting. There are two different principles. What exactly is the meaning of the word limo mal ba'ashek? Okay, we learned already 2 years ago. It's Ita and a sheker. Then Kodam Hashem v'chuv enosha hahu. And that man is given the word Oshma. Oshma means guilt. Because he basically is translating the word Oshma the same way he translated the word Achatas. Achatas means a choiv. And here he basically says exactly the same thing. Okay, next part. Pasuk Zayin. What does this fellow do? He swore falsely. To his sadu es chatosam, he has to confess. They, the hisvadu, is they, these, the ish or the isha. The hisvadu, confess, eschatosam, asherosu. Then it says, the hishivis ashamoy birashai. They shall return the money, the guilt money. Vacha nishi so yosef olav, and they shall add to the money 1/5, which a fifth, I always tell you, is 25%. And the reason why we call it a fifth is because after you add 25% of the principal to itself, it now becomes a fifth. If you have a dollar and you have a penalty of a quarter, so you pay back $1.25. So the result is the extra money that you pay back as a penalty is 1/5 of the total sum of what you have delivered. But in truth, the 25 cents is really a quarter, a fourth of the principal. If I steal a dollar and I lie, swear that I did not steal that dollar, and I am guilty, I confess, or witnesses prove that I'm guilty, and then I confess afterwards, then I have to take that $1, return it, add to that $1 a fourth of what I have stolen, 25 cents, which means in total, I'm giving this fellow $1.25. So the extra penalty money is a fifth of the total sum. Okay, next. V'nosan, you shall give it la'asher to the person or sham lo to you are guilty to. Rashi, pasuk zayin, es ashamay biroshoy. You shall add the osham birosho who are karen shenishpa olaf. You shall return that word birosho is a very strange expression. Birosho means you shall return the ashram, the guilt. I guess that's first. First thing is first. First thing is pay back the guilt money. And then it says, in addition, pay back the fifth, la'asher ashram lo l'mish and it's chayiv lo to the victim. Targum, pasuk zayin, vi vadoin, confess, yoschoy lehoin davidu, your sin, v'yosiv yoschoy sey bereshay, and you shall give the guilt money the way it is, the chumsha Yosef alohi ed a fifth, eat him with the chai of lay, and give the extra fifth to the guilty part of the victim. Okay, that's straightforward. Pretty straightforward. Next. What happens if the victim does not have a relative? And that's impossible, because, unless it's a Ger Tzedek, because every single Jew in this world has a relative. If he has no children, then it goes to his brother. If he has no brother, it goes, well, the truth is, if he has no children, it goes to his father. If he has no father, then it goes to his brother, his oldest brother. And if his brother is not alive, it goes to his brother's children. And so on and so forth. Let's say the person does not have a father, does not have a brother, then it goes to his uncle. If there is no uncle, then it goes, well, it really goes to the grandfather first. If there is no grandfather, to the uncle. If there is no uncle, just keep on going up and up to another generation. A person comes from somewhere. You know, somewhere you got to come. Every single person has a relative somewhere up there. Otherwise, how in the world, how would they get here? The only one that does not have a halachic relative is the Ger Tzedek. So that's what Pasuk has told us. V'im ein lo ish goyel, l'hashiv ha'ashem elav, ha'asham, ha'mushav la'hashem, the guilt payment, that is returned to Hashem, ha'mushav la'hashem la'kohen, shall be returned to, it's a very difficult expression what this means. I don't know what it means. How do we translate it? It goes to the Kohen that serves Hashem. Milvad, this is in addition to the El HaKippurim, in addition to the Ayil, a ram, which will be a guilt offering, Asher Yichaper by love, which will be the source of atonement. Now let's see Pasuk Ches in Rashi. In Ein Lo Ish Goyel, Sheneis HaTaveya, the victim, who is the plaintiff, he died, Shehishvi'oi, the one that invoked the Shavu upon him, the Ein Lo Yarshim, and he has no Yarshim, and that means he's a Ger Tzedek. Rashi really said that in the previous pasuk. L'hashiv ha'ashan lo'i, to return the money to, kishanim lachzel hisadis al avonai. When this fellow confesses his sin and wants to pay back what he has stolen, there is no one to give the money to. The amru rabbi said, v'chiyei shlucha adam yishol she'en lo goyalim. Oy bein, oy bas, v'ach, a brother, a sh'or basar. Any relative, Hakadosh and Mishpachas Aviv, Malal Ad Yaakov, impossible. Ella Zehager Shanei Sudar Ze'ein Lo Yarshem. So then, what should he do? Ha'ashav and Mishav Zehakeren Nachemish. He returns the Karen, the principal. He returns the principal and the fifth. La Hashem La Kohen. And what does that mean? So Rashi is coming to explain. Coming to explain the two words. The reason why it says La Hashem, Kino Hashem, Hashem acquires it. Vinatnu La Koyen. Shada Oisa Mishmar. So Rashi is coming to explain this very bizarre expression that when the person makes the return goes to Hashem. And then Hashem in turn designates it to the Kohen who is serving the Beis HaMikdash on that day, into the Mishmar that's serving. So it's a two-step process. You're not giving the money back directly to the Kohanim. You're giving the money to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hashem, and Hashem in turn gives it back to the Kohanim. So that's Pshat the Pasuk. Then it says, Movad El HaKippurim, this besides the El HaKippurim, Ha'amur B'Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, Shavutzalach Lohavi, he must bring a carbon Asham, which is brought from an ayil, a ram, and that will be an atonement for his sin. Okay, now listen, Targum. Targum caused success.
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
Why does Rashi limit the Karov to Mimishpachat Aviv?
Because it doesn't go to the mother. There is no such thing. You don't go back to a mother, even all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. That's the laws of Yerusha. In the laws of Yerusha, the only time a woman gets a Yerusha is if there are no children, if there are no sons. It always follows the father's side of the family. If there's a son, it goes, b'makom sheyesh bein, ein lebas klum. Do you know how many dinei Torah there are over that today? That when a person dies, And there are sons who say that we want the entire Yerusha, we won't have Din Torah, And the daughters say, what are you talking about? I get nothing? This is America. What kind of thing is this? I'm going to get nothing in the Yerusha? That's right. B'makom sheyesh bein ein lebas kelum. Unless you go to a Beis Din before a person leaves this world and writes a living halachic will in order to make it work out that his daughters get a chelik of his Yerusha. Or unless the brothers want to be so kind and they want to give as a matana a chelik of Yerusha to their sisters.
There are a lot of lawyers who specialize in this. What they basically do, they gave a matana shrivmara. But it gives a matana shrivmara of the that he owes money to somebody, a larger amount than the sons would get a Yerusha if they fight the will. So there's a matana for the girls, and if the boys accept this will, it's fine. If they don't, there's a loan that automatically jumps into effect.
Okay. I don't know the mechanics. The RCA has its own, it has a very complex halachic will, and the Aguda, they also have spent a lot of effort in developing a living will. These are two organizations that are very, very big into this. The OU, through the Beis Din, the RCA, and the Aguda, they've invested time, effort, money to create a living will. Their technique is very different. They each have a very different approach on how to go about it. And people who have a lot of money, they spend a lot of time with their lawyers figuring out what exactly is the best thing to do in their particular situation. And people who have no money, doesn't make a difference to them because they have nothing anyway to give over, so whatever it is. But this is a very important thing, and that's why Rashi says that when the person dies, we go to the children. If there are no children, then we go only up the line from the father. The person's father, if there's no father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, only from the father's side. Okay, now let's take a look at the Targum Pasuk, Ches Vim, Vim Les Leguva Parik. If there is no a parik, that's a very interesting word, a slash of redemption. A goyal is a redeemer. The Pasuk here says a Yorish. This could take, go. We just read Megillas Rus. What am I saying? Megillas Rus on Shavuos. And Megillas Rus, Boaz, he tells Pliny Almoini, you are the closest relative. And the term used in Megillas Rus for a relative is a Goel, a redeemer. And why is a relative called a redeemer? Because there is a halacha that if a person sells property, sells assets, he sells ancestral assets, it is the duty of the relatives to come forward and to redeem those assets so they do not leave the family. Person was desperate, he had to go sell it, okay, but someone in the family shall come along at some point in time and buy it back to make sure that the land remains in the family estate. So here, he's called a redeemer. The im left leguva parik le'osava choyv sa lay to arrive. Now, it also means to give. There's no relative for this man to give the money back. So he lied. He took He took $1,000 and he swore that he did not do anything. And now he confessed and wants to return the money, but there's no one to give the money to because the person died. L'asava to give choifsa, the money that he has stolen, lay, then, period, choifsa, the guilt money that he owes, dimsiv, that is given kodom Hashem. So here, it's returned before Hashem, l'cho hano, and then we'll learn like Rashi, from Hashem, it's transferred to the priest. Bar, this is done, all of this must be done in addition. Midikar means a ram, and an ayil is called a beker. Okay, besides the ram, kipuraya, of atonement, Dikapar be Alohi, which he brings for atonement, which he needs to bring to Hashem, an atonement for lying in the name of Hashem. Pasuk Tes. Next class, the whole Truma, the whole Kachiv in Israel, all Truma And what does that mean? We will see in a moment. That is offered to the Kohen. Lo yihye, it shall go to the Kohen. What does this mean exactly? Look at Rashi, Pasuk Tes. V'chol teruma. Amar Rebbe Yishmael, teruma makrivin l'Kohen. What does this mean? Every old offering, teruma, of all holy matters, which you offer to the Kohen. The Rashi is quoting the Gemara that questions the vocabulary. The word yakrivu is not the correct word to use in this pasuk. If we're referring here to real truma, which grows out of the ground, and the farmer has an obligation to take 1/50th of what grows out of the ground and give it to the Kohen, then the terminology of yakrivu is inappropriate. You don't offer as a sacrifice grain. Now, not only that, okay, I told you someone was like, it's not just the Rashi's question, the word carbon. Who comes to who? The Kohanim line up outside the door begging for handouts. It's a terrible thing. Okay, it's a terrible thing that the poor people, they are coming to the rich to beg to give. You don't find, it's very rare to find wealthy people to go out and look for poor people who to give it to. More often than not, the rich people stay home in a comfortable home, and they wait for people to knock on their door, please give me money. So then here it says in the pasuk that the Kohen is running out. He's running out in the street. The Yisrael is running around. He's running in the streets to Manhattan to find Kohanim. Is there a Kohen here? Anyone here a Kohen? I want to give you truma. What are you talking about? The rich man is sitting in his house, is on Zoom, listening to a Shia, and they bang down the doors to get money, the poor people. So that's the kind of Rashi's kasha. I'm sure the theme of truma, machim, lachayim, I'm like, who ha machazer achareha lebei sagoras? It's the Kohen that lines up in the granary begging the rich man to give him a handout. My Talmud Loimar Asher Yakrivu La Kohen. So why then does it say the word Yakrivu? So the Gemara says, so here's a very powerful Yisoid. This is an incredible Yisoid, and this changes the first Mishnah. I always, this is one of my favorite Verluch. First Mishnah in the Sechta Baruchas Sima Shastar. This pasuk here refers to the first fruits, because indeed, bikurim, do the kohanim go out to the fields and ask the Yisraelim, please give us the bikurim, give us some of the first fruits. That's the only exception. The only time we find the rich man coming to give a gift, and not the poor man coming to the rich man to beg, is only by Bikurim. That is why Bikurim is such a special mitzvah. Shavuos is called Uviyoyim HaBikurim. On Pesach, what do we read at the Seder? What is the highlight of the Seder? Arami Oyved Ovi. We read the Parsha of Bikurim. What's the godless of Bikurim? It's the only gift, all the gifts of Chol HaTorah Kula, where the Kohanim, the poor people, they stay at home, they stay in the Beis HaMikdash, and the rich man, no matter how rich he has to walk up the steps, no limousine, no nothing. He has to be like everyone else, take the basket, and come with the basket, and put the basket in front of the person. I told you this story. I went somewhere, not going to tell you all the details, with a very, very wealthy person. This person is so rich, you can't even imagine how rich. He's like Trump, tremendous, right? With his hands, tremendously rich. This fellow, and we were going somewhere, and I said to him, you know, if we don't get out of the car right now and start walking, we're never going to get there. And he gave me this look. No way. You know how much basically, he didn't say the words. Basically, you know who I am? I'm the richest man in the world here. I don't do this. I don't walk on the highway. I don't go on gravel. I don't do that. I go in a limousine. They take me to the door. I said, I don't care. We're not getting I'm going. You want to stay here? I don't care. I'm not going to miss this. You want to stay here? And I basically forced him out of the car. And he had to go on a hike with me for almost a half an hour to get to our destination. And I was right because I asked the driver after it was all over, tell me what would have been had we sat in the car. He said to me, you would still be sitting in the car. And like the expression of this fellow was, what? I don't do this. He was so disturbed because a rich man doesn't go. A rich man stays home and the poor people come to him. But when it comes to Bikurim, this is the Yoytzei Min HaKlal. Pick yourself up, go on a hike, take the basket, gold basket, and walk to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach, and put it down like everyone else. That's why it's so chaviv bikurim. Shavuos uviyoyim habikurim. Don't sit home. You got to go out into the desert to the Mekabel the Torah. It's uviyoyim habikurim. They're not coming, the rich people, they're not sitting in box seats with air conditioning and good food, and Hashem is coming into the box seats with delicacies to give them the Torah. By Matan Torah, the rich man had to go out into the desert, into the sandstorms, to the Kabbalah, to like everyone else. That's why it's called Uviyam HaBikurim. Pesach is, we all left Mitzrayim. Uviyam HaBikurim, we read the Pesukim. That's what Rashi over here is teaching us. You wouldn't know this if you wouldn't learn the Rashi. All these said this on Rashi. That's why it's called Bikurim. Shenema bohem tazi beis Hashem lukecha. It says bring, the Eliyot, it says you shall bring to the, it says you shall bring to the day Hashem Elokecha. The Eliyot there, ma yaseh bohem. I don't know what you shall do with the Bikurim. What do you do with the Bikurim? It says by Bikurim, all that says by Bikurim is you bring to the day Hashem. Tamalema lekoyein lo yeh. Barakos of Elimeid ala Bikurim sheyen nitonim lakoyein. In Parashas Kisavoy, it doesn't say anywhere who gets to keep the Bikurim. Garbage. All it says in Parashas Kisavoy is bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbech, and put it down before the Mizbech, and the Kohen's going to wave it together with you. Very nice. And now that you finish the ceremony, what happens to the Bikurim? Who gets to keep it? They auction it off at the next Chinese auction for the next institution on the line. What do you do with the Bikurim? The answer is this pasuk we learned today in Parashas Nasai here together at 7:57. We learned the Yisoid that in Parashas the Bikurim goes to the Koyin. This is the Makar. La Koyin lo yihye. He gets to keep it. Now you know the Pshat mark. You know the Pshat in the first Mishnah Masechta Brachos. Me'emosai Koyin Shema Ba'arvis. When do you learn Kriya Shema at night? Misha shehakoyhanim nichnasim, when they enter le'echol bitrumasan. What truma are we referring to? What truma? We're referring to bikurim. Why? Because in this pasuk test, it says the whole truma. Bikurim is called truma. And who gets to keep the truma? It says lo lakoyim lo yihye. Let me ask you, how do you know this is the pshat? Because if we're referring to truma gedoyla, what grows on the ground, you give 1/50th to the kohanim, is that the property of the kohen? No, it's not. It's mishulchan gavoya kazochu. When the kohanim eat ordinary truma, it's not really theirs. They're a guest at Hashem's table, and that's why they're not allowed to give it away to Yisraelim. But bikurim, it's theirs to keep. It becomes their property, and they can in turn pay off their debts with it. They in turn can invite a guest, a Yisrael, to eat it. That's why the mission says Le'echol bitruma son, their truma. It doesn't say in the first mission Masechta the Brachos that Kohanim Nichnas Le'echol bitruma. It says Le'echol bitruma son. It's their property. You know why it's their property? Because of this pasuk that says here, Lakoyin lo yiye. That's why. Okay, you see, that's why it's theirs. Incredible chiddush over here. This pasuk teaching us. And that's all Rashi. Everything is always in Rashi. Now let's see the Targum. Targum pasuk test. Pasuk test is Vokol Afra Shusa. all items that have been set aside. It's an important targum. It's translated the word tum tum means precious. You set aside l'chol kudshaya for all holy matters to Bnei Yisrael. Dikarvun l'chohana, that is brought close to the kohanim. Dileyei. It says, okay, one more pasuk yud. One more pasuk to finish the Torah. I'm going to have time to finish the Torah because it's already 8 o'clock. We're going to have to read the pasuk that we'll do tomorrow. The ish for the end of the parasha, the ish a person, es kadoshav lo yihyeh. A man, his holy matter shall be his. What does that mean? Ish asher yitim lakoyim lo yihyeh. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Pasuk in Rashi. Without Rashi, there's no way to understand anything. I have no clue how the Christians who read the Old Testament, no clue how they understand even one word in the pasuk. Without Torah Shel Peh, pasuk like this. You know what this means? Who could understand what this means if you don't have Rashi? Impossible. The ish es kadosh lo yihyeh l'tish nemru b'manas kohuna leviyah. It says b'manas kohuna leviyah yachol yavol v'yitlin b'zruyah. It says that kohanim are entitled to get gifts. Maybe that entitles them to come with force to knock on your door and say, if you don't give me the truma, we're going to riot. I'm going to come into the house and take it by force. You know, you have to tell them, you have to put up signs in all the department stores that tell all the rioters, those who are looting, that no more than 10 people are allowed in the store. Social distancing. Who do you think you are? We may not arrest you for stealing thousands of dollars, but we're going to arrest you for violating social distancing if you come into the store more than 10 people. Right, Mark? The ish, yachol yavol v'yilin zoya, tamolomar the ish es kadoshav lo yihyeh, it's yours. Magid. Shetoivas hanafan lava olam. This part comes over here is that it's yours to decide and bless it. The toivas hanafan means when you have holy things to give, it's low, it means it belongs to the Yisrael. You can sell, you can take money from a grandfather who is a Yisrael to direct that you give the truma to his grandson, the Kohen. Okay, you can have a grandfather who is a Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk is teaching you, that even though you get it's a gift, you have to give it away. But you do have epis, you have a small amount of money, a small amount of value where you're allowed to receive money. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. The old Midrashim Harbe Yedarshu by Bisifrei. What's the Medrash Agada? The Ish is Kadosh of Lo Yer Nisha and Akim Ma'asra is the Inan Islam. Lo Yer Ma'asra is Sav. The drasha, and a person does not give to the Kohen the Levi the gifts, the end is going to be he will be the recipient of gifts. Maisa Ani. He's going to be waiting online for welfare, waiting online for people to hand out. Soy Sha'ain Sodeyu Aisa Ella Echad Measara Shahisa Lamudal Asa. So here it says the word Maisa Lo Yia means Maisa is for 10%. If you do not give 10% of your produce to the Levi, the end is going to be that you're going to get 10%, meaning that the field, instead of your field producing 100%, you give away 10%, the field will only, you'll have 90% at the end of the day, you'll only get 10% because the field's not going to produce anything. Next, Ish Asher Yitim Lakoyim, Manas Ruyuslai, Lo Yihiyen Ludrasha, Momoin Harbe. Lo Yih as a darshan independently, he will be blessed with an abundance of money. So let's read the pasuk very quickly one more time. The ish es kadoshav. The pshuta shel mikra means a person es kadoshav. The way we're going to translate this according to the first pshat Rashi means in relation, his relationship with his holy item, his relationship with the truma and the mice that he's supposed to give. Lo Yih you. It's a relationship that he has a chelik in. He owns it, meaning he can take money from a person and make a business arrangement. You give me $10, and I will direct my truma that is worth $100 to a specific Kohen Levi that you want me to give it to. That's what the pasuk is teaching you, that a man in relationship to his holy matters has a of possession, lo yazachelik of ownership in this, we can take a few dollars. Ish asher yitim lakoyim lo yiyah. And I made a mistake. There are two lo. There's the lo yihyu and there's lo yiyah. According to Rashi's first pshat, lo yihyu means you can decide who you want to give it to. Nobody can take it by force. The second word lo yiyah means you can take money also. Not only can you decide who you want to give it to, you own it to a degree where you can take money from someone else to and to use that money to redirect it to whom you want it to. That's the pshuta shel nikra. The drasha is each eskadoshav lo yihyeh, which means lo yihyu, that if lo yihyu, if you're going to hold it back for yourself, if you have in your possession true in mindset and you don't want to give it away, you want to keep it in your pockets, lo yihyu, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is, it's going to happen, you're going to get the mitzvah, you're going to end up only getting 10%. You're going to have a very poor profit. And then the next part is, and if you do give it, you do what you're supposed to do, lo yiyeh, you're going to have wealth, extraordinary wealth you'll have by giving tzedakah. Okay, let's move to the tagim, very good, ugvayos masar kudshoi, a person that the word masari means delay. Basically, on the bottom, we have more precision of what this means. We have, this is a big topic. We have to do this tomorrow. We'll do this tomorrow. We'll do this tomorrow. We'll stop here. Okay, everybody, so thank you very much for joining me in Mitzvah tomorrow night, 7:15. We'll continue. 9:30 tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.
How was the sound tonight? Was the sound good?
Yeah.
It's better than the normal, the sound, doing it this way?
It's okay.
All right. Okay, have a good night. Thank you.
No difference. Very good. Okay. Have a good night, everybody. Kol tov. From Ima, who's Ima?